Today's reading is from Mark 6, verses 33 to 56. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups and on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Amen.
Well, let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious God, as we come now to hear your word preached, we are so grateful for your word and for the opportunity to learn more about Jesus. Lord, this morning we want to see you as the good shepherd who cares for your people. So, loving God, would you help us now to see Jesus' compassion? And would you help us to understand again what it means that he provides for us? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us now? And would you show us again that we can trust Jesus with every need that we have? In the loving name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Before we get into our passage this morning, I want to ask this question. Has there ever been a time when you've done all your shopping, or your groceries, as Marion calls it, and then you've went to pay for it, and you've realised that you'd forgotten your purse, your wallet, or your bank card? Put your hand up if that's ever happened to you. Yeah. Or even worse in my case, have you ever put petrol or diesel in your car and then realised you had no money or bank card with you? Put your hand up if that's ever happened. Yeah, it's happened to me. There's such a panic when that happens, isn't there? Well, you know, that's a wee bit like what the disciples must have felt in our passage this morning, as we continue our journey through Mark's Gospel, this morning we are looking at a passage that's so full of action. We will see Jesus feed over 5,000 people with a few loaves and a couple of fish. He's also going to walk on water. And we'll also see him healing people who just reached out and touched him. So we start in Mark chapter 6, verse 33, that Dorothy read for us. It says, "But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them." Now remember what's just happened before this. We saw this last week, that the disciples have just come back from their mission and they were very tired. Jesus says, "Come away to a quiet place and rest." So they got in this boat and they go somewhere more quiet, or they think it's going to be more quiet. But the big crowds there, they knew where they were going and they ran round the lake, so they get there before Jesus arrives. So much for a bit of quiet time, eh? I wonder who can identify with that. A time that you try and get quiet time or a wee bit of peace, and then you get interrupted. Put your hand up if that's ever happened to you. Yes, absolutely. Then we read in verse 34, it says, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." Now this is the key. Jesus sees this crowd. Remember, he's going there for quiet time. And then his first response is compassion. I wonder if we would be so compassionate if we tried to get a bit of quiet time and then get interrupted like that. I would love to say I would be, but sadly I'm probably not. I wouldn't be that compassionate. And Mark tells us why Jesus had compassion. It says, "Because they were like sheep without a shepherd." This is a picture from the Old Testament. Israel is often described as God's flock, and the leaders, well, they're meant to be shepherds who care for them. But far too often, the leaders fail to do this. And Jesus looks at this crowd, and he sees sheep without a shepherd. So they're lost, and they're vulnerable, and he has compassion on them. So what does Jesus do? It says he teaches them. He gives them what they need the most, and that is the Word of God. He feeds their souls before he feeds their bodies. I'll say that again. He feeds their souls before he feeds their bodies. And that is our job as the church. Sometimes we have to feed people's bodies in order that we can then feed their souls. And that's often, you know, the Salvation Army story that I speak about a lot. You know, William Booth and his wife, Catherine, they spoke a lot about that, you know, having to meet people's physical needs and take them on a journey. But at the end of the day, they knew the ultimate thing is feeding people's souls. And that is our job as a church. And as we told that to the young people, the kind of high school discipleship group, the last time we were in with them, and they were really engaging to that. You know, we spoke about a lot of different things with them. And I actually just come right out and said, you know, we can be fun and we can do it in creative ways, but our job is to give you Jesus, to offer you Jesus, and to take you on a journey to get to know him more. That is it. That is why we are here. And that's why we're going to be looking at some Youth Alpha stuff, and we will be creative in how we do it, and we hopefully are creative in how we do it with the adults as well. But that is the purpose, to offer people Jesus and to help you to go on a journey to get to know him more. And it says that Jesus teaches them many things. Then verses 35 and 36 says, "By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. 'This is a remote place,' they said, 'and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.'" So the disciples here, they've been really practical. It's getting late. They're in a remote place. There's no food. There's no Asda or Tesco's or Aldi or Lidl. I'm sure there's none of that there. There's no food at all. People need to eat. So they say, "Let's send them away so they can get food." It makes sense. That's a practical thing to do with this many people. But Jesus thinks differently. Verse 37 says, "But he answered, 'You give them something to eat.'" Just think about that. You give them something to eat. The disciples must have thought he was joking. Verse 37 continues, "They said to him, 'That would take more than half a year's wages.'" So their reply to Jesus would imply that they thought, what is he talking about? And then, you know, where are we to go? Spend that much money to give them something to eat. So they're sort of doing the sums in their head. 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough to feed this crowd. This is impossible. They just don't have the resources that they need. But Jesus asks a question. Verse 38 says, "How many loaves do you have?" He asked, "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. So they've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. As I say, John's Gospel says it's a boy's lunch. That's nothing compared to what's needed to feed this massive crowd. But Jesus takes what they have. Verse 39 says, "Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the grass." So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. So here Jesus is organizing this crowd. He has them sit in groups. And that means that they will be able to see the miracle that is about to happen. We then read in verse 41, it says, "Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided 2 fish among them all." So Jesus, he takes the bread and the fish. He looks up to heaven. So he's acknowledging that this is coming from God. He gives thanks. He then breaks the bread and they start giving it out through the disciples. And here is the miracle. Here's the miracle. Verse 42, "They all ate and were satisfied." They all ate and were satisfied. So everyone's ate here. They've not just ate a wee bit. It says they were satisfied. And I just know from my constant hunger and never, Marion will tell you, she cannot feed me enough. So for the fact that there was 5,000 people here and they were satisfied, it must have meant that they definitely ate a lot. Verse 43 says, "And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish." So like we're saying with the young folks, there was leftovers, there was 12 baskets of leftovers, more than they had started with. So this isn't just enough. This is real abundance. Now, what's Mark showing us here? Well, Jesus is the good shepherd who provides for his sheep. He sees their need and he provides abundantly. But notice the pattern here. The disciples bring what little they have. It's not enough. But Jesus takes it and he multiplies it to feed the crowd. This is what God does. He takes our very small offerings, whether it be just our wee bit of money or a spare couple of hours that we might have in a week to help others or to serve in the church. And he does something massive with them. He takes what we bring, as small as it might be, and he uses it for his glory. And then the scene shifts a wee bit. Verse 45 says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd." So Jesus here makes the disciples get in the boat. Seems like there's a wee bit of urgency here. And from the other Gospels, we know why. Because the crowd wanted to make Jesus king by force. They've just seen him feed miraculously this massive crowd. And they thought that this was the political Messiah that they had been waiting for so long. So Jesus sends the disciples away and he dismisses the crowd himself. Then we read verse 46 says, "After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray." So Jesus here goes to pray. He needs time alone with his Father. I'll say that again. He needs time alone with his Father. And at the same time, his disciples end up in trouble. Verse 47 says, later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. So it's now night time. They're in the middle of the lake. The wind is right up against them, and they're pulling really hard on these oars, but they're making no progress. And where's Jesus? He's on the mountainside, but he's watching them. He sees their struggle. We need to know that. Jesus sees their struggle, and he sees our struggle. We'll come back to that a bit later. Then verse 48 says, shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them. So Jesus here walks on water. And this is another sign of his authority over creation. Jesus done miracles in just a few areas, not loads and loads of different areas. He done miracles over creation, the natural world. He done miracles over demon possession, the devil. He done miracles over sickness and sin. And he done miracles over death. And that is to show that he has the power over all of these things. And remember, in the Old Testament, it's God alone who walks on water. Job chapter 9, verse 8 says, God alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. And here, Jesus does exactly this. He walks on water in the direction of his disciples. But notice it says he was about to pass by them. It's kind of strange language, but I think it's important. In the Old Testament, when God passes by someone, it's him showing his glory. God passed by Moses on Mount Sinai, and God passed by Elijah in the cave. So here Jesus is showing his glory. He's showing who he is. But the disciples, well, they don't recognize him. Verse 49, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. So they're frightened and they think it's a ghost. Of course they think it's a ghost. Who's walking on water? When's the last time any of us in here saw anybody walking on water? They're absolutely terrified. They think it's a ghost. But immediately Jesus speaks, verse 50. It said, immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. It is I. In Greek, this is ego eimi, the same phrase God used when he revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. I am. So Jesus here is saying that he is God. And take courage, don't be afraid. These are the same words that Jesus spoke during the other storm that we preached on a few weeks ago. So Jesus speaks peace into their fear. Then verse 51 says, then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. So Jesus gets into the boat, and the wind stops. Just like before, he has authority over this storm. But notice the disciples' response. Verse 52 says, for they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. So they're amazed, but they still don't fully understand who Jesus is. You know, the miracle of the loaves and the fish that just happened there, you would think that would have got them ready for this. You know, if someone can multiply bread and fish like that, then why can't that same person walk on water? If he's the good shepherd who provides, then why wouldn't he also be the one who protects? But they're still trying to work out who Jesus is. Then they got to the other side. Verse 53, when they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And right away, people recognized Jesus. Verses 54 and 55 says, as soon as they got out the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried those who were ill on mats to wherever they heard he was. So word's getting out, and people bring the sick to him. And verse 56, and whenever he went into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed those who were ill in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched were healed. So everywhere Jesus goes, there's sick people being brought to him, and they don't even ask him to lay his hands on them. They just want to reach out and touch the edge of a cloak so they can be healed. So what do we take from all of this? I wonder, how can we work all of this into our daily lives? Well, firstly, know this, that Jesus sees our need, all of our needs, and he has compassion. He saw the crowd like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. He saw the disciples pulling really hard at the oars, and he came to them. He saw the sick, and he healed them. So Jesus sees us, whatever we're going through, whatever we're struggling with, whatever need we have, whatever pain we have inside, whatever secret tears we cry when no one else can see us, Jesus sees us, and his heart is for compassion to us. Next, we should know that Jesus provides more than we will ever need. 5 loaves and 2 fish fed over 5,000 people with 12 baskets left over. So Jesus more than meets our needs. Next, we can bring our little resources to him. The disciples had almost nothing, but they brought what they had to Jesus, and he multiplied it. You might feel that what you have to offer is not enough. I've felt that so many times in my own life. Your faith is too small. Your resources are too limited. Your abilities are maybe not that great. But when we bring them to Jesus, he blesses them and he uses them. And like I was saying to the young folks, a well-known saying amongst my cohort of people who train for ministry together is that God does not call the equipped, but he equips those that he calls. You know, and we need to know that. We need to know that God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips those that he calls. We should also remember that Jesus protects us in the storms. The disciples were pulling hard at these oars with the wind against them. They weren't getting very far at all. But Jesus came to them, and he walked on water, and then he calmed the storm. You might be in a storm right now. Maybe you're struggling and hurting and making very little progress. Well, let me tell you something this morning. If that is you, Jesus sees you. He's coming to you. He speaks peace. He says, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And I know there's a lot of people struggling. I know that we all struggle in life. And from my pastoral work over the last 6.5 months, there's many ups and downs in our journeys. We know that. But please know this. Jesus says, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And the final application point is this, that healing comes through a connection with Jesus. People just wanted to touch the edge of his cloak. And oh, how much do we need connection with Jesus. Not just knowing about him, but actually touching him through faith, through prayer, through his word, through worship. That's where the healing happens, and that's where life flows. You know, this passage shows us that Jesus is the complete shepherd, and he's still that shepherd today. Whatever our need, Jesus is the one who can meet us in that need. If we're hungry, he satisfies. If we're in a storm, he protects. If we're sick, he can heal. If we are lost, he's the good shepherd who seeks out the lost sheep. The question is this, will we trust him and will we bring our needs to him? Because you know, Jesus is the true shepherd. And the application for us is simple. Trust Jesus to provide, to protect, to heal, to guide, and to make new. Trust him with our daily needs. Trust him with our fears. Trust him with our worries. Trust him with our pain. Trust him with our health. Trust him with our many worries for our own children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our brothers, our sisters. Trust him with our future. Trust him with their futures. Trust him with everything, because he has shown himself to be faithful. He fed 5,000 people. He walked on water. He healed those who touched him. and he has carried us through so many of life's storms. You know, I always say it's a lifetime of work that God is doing in us to get us to fully trust him. Look at everything he's brought us through to bring us here to this moment today. And you know, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So may we all come to know the Good Shepherd again deeper this morning. May we bring our needs, bring our struggles, bring our resources, bring our fears, and bring our worries, and watch him provide all that we will ever need. Amen. Let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Lord, we thank you that you see our needs and you have compassion on us. Loving God, we ask that you would help us again to trust you more. And would you help us to bring our resources to you and watch you multiply them. For those here this morning who are in storms right now, Lord, would you speak your peace. For those who are hungry, would you satisfy them. For those who are sick or broken, would you bring healing. And Lord, we thank you that you're the Good Shepherd and that we are your sheep. In the loving name of Jesus we pray. Amen.